Oh, there's nothing like live radio here at the Minnesota State Fair. Dennis is helping us out downtown. Kevin is out here. Dan Burns is on the horn. And Dan, I need your expertise. Well, Kevin's pretty good about this, but my microphone just fell off. And yeah. That's tough. It's tough that happens, you know, especially at this age. You know,
I'm never there when I need you or when you need me.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, that's for sure. Well, Kevin's going to work on that. In the meantime, Dan Burns has helped us out here on CCO Radio for many years. Too many to count now, I think, in the 20s. Helping our listeners out. And he'll help you out today, either by phone or by text. If you do have a car care question, 651-989-9226. Send a text, and we'll get those on, too, at 81807. Dan, before you and I chat, there was a text that came in before the show began. I know we've had this before, a similar question, but the Lloyd's Automotive, Dan, the text says, another key fob went through the washing machine. Is there any fix for that? What do you think?
Well, there probably is not a fix for that one. You know, you can try the old take it apart, take the battery out, dry it out, see how it goes. But, of course, that's a crapshoot at whether that will work or not. Although I have seen it work, so it's certainly worth the effort. If you need some help getting it apart, swing by your shop. And, you know, the guys up front in our office do those all day long. Everybody, you know, when their key fob, the battery in their key fob goes bad, nobody knows how to put a battery in it.
But is it fixable? It is fixable.
Well, it might be. That's what I'm saying. Is it's worth the effort to take it apart and let it dry out real good, and then put a new battery in it and see what happens. If not, the good news is on lots of cars, on lots of different models, there's aftermarket key fobs that are available that are relatively inexpensive, and on many of the cars, the key fobs can be reprogrammed. You can do it yourself. I mean, there's a YouTube video or something that'll walk you through it, and they're very helpful and they're very good. And so, oftentimes, you can do it yourself. Now, that being said, there's also several models of cars where the key fobs are very expensive, and you cannot buy them on the aftermarket, and in fact, they need to be professionally programmed with computers. So both sides to that story, depending upon what kind of car you have. But the good news is, no matter what, it can absolutely be fixed.
If you have a car care question for Dan Burns, ASC certified technician at Lloyd's in St. Paul, call us or text us. Did I give you the phone number? 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. And you're getting a lot of folks in bringing their vehicles in before the kids go back to college, and with you know, fall trips included.
We are, and that's a good idea. And in fact, it's this time of year, Danny, always is a little nostalgic for me with the memory of bringing kids back to college and checking them into dorms, and the mixed feeling of oh, I'm sad you're going back to college. Thank God you're going back to college.
Yeah, it's kind of mixed.
Yeah, I know.
For sure.
It's kind of a mixed bag, and I guess that's part of the separation process as our kids grow up. But at any rate, the kids are going back to college, and if they're taking a car with them, it's a little bit scary to have the kids with their car in their college town and not have a relationship with anybody in that town if you have any trouble. So my recommendation is, first of all, be sure you have the car all checked over by your own shop before you send them off to college. And then another tip I would offer is, if you have trouble while your kids are in a different town, call your home shop, call your own shop, because we have networks of shops around the country that are associated with us through different clubs and you know, different franchise deals that would be very helpful for you if your kids do have trouble. So that's my recommendation is, if your kids do have trouble when they're out of town, call your own shop and let them help you sort out where they should take the car, and then they can also help you make decisions on what should be done while the car is there. So another good reason to have a relationship with where you get your car fixed, because there's more to it than just getting your car fixed today. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's absolutely true. It is. I guess I can equate it with finding a good doctor, you know, your own real doctor that you can, you know, help you out.
Well, just like you, Denny Long, you would not let anyone ever touch your car unless you talk to me first.
Absolutely. And you're the only person I let touch my car, as a matter of fact.
Well, I know, but if you were stuck, or if you're someone in your family was stuck, you would absolutely call me, and you should. And that's what's really nice about having a relationship with somebody.
Absolutely. It's very comforting, as a matter of fact. I tell you what, I know we have to break soon, but I want to get Ken is calling in from Blaine, I believe, with a question for Dan. Ken, you're on CCO with Dan.
Good morning. I have a 1979 Mazda RX-7, and I've had it in storage for several years. And I had a person that I know who knows more about cars than I certainly do, was asked him to take a look at it and see if we could get it to be functional again. And he's having trouble starting it, and he's also having trouble finding someone that knows much about the rotary engine. And I guess I was wondering, are there places that know about the Wenkel engine and could figure out why it's not starting?
First of all, if the car ran when you put it away and it doesn't run now, more than likely the trouble is fuel related, because fuel is the one thing that will rot over time and cause trouble and corrosion in the system. And I don't need to know much about the rotary engine to take care of that. So if you stay concentrated on the fuel part of it, it's probably not getting any fuel, because the things have gotten clogged. Then chase the fuel issue. Probably get the carburetor cleaned out. Make sure that there's fuel pump pressure and all those sorts of things. And I think that if you stay focused on the fuel, you'll be able to get it going and decide what you want to do with it. But if the car ran when you put it away, there's no reason that it shouldn't run now. The fact that it sat should not have mechanically hurt the engine at all.
Okay, good. Good news. Tell you what, I know we have to do a quick break here, Dan. If you want to call in your question, car care question, keep in mind Dan's going to be here till just about 7:45. So don't wait. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Live from the fair, 720. And our CCO temperature reading 72 degrees. We'll be right back. And good morning from the Minnesota State Fair. We're in the midst of our car care show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, which isn't too far from here, right, Dan?
No, we are right down just south of there on Grand Avenue between Lexington and Victoria. So we are seeing some State Fair traffic go by, and people getting on the buses coming back or going to the fair and coming back from the fair. So yeah, we. And I understand that there's record attendance out there, so that's a good thing, too.
I have a feeling, anyway, just a guess, I have a feeling it's going to be another record. But I know you guys have a great website, too.
We do. It's at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net. Or we're not open today because of the long holiday weekend. We always take a break on the holidays.
Sure.
On Saturday, but most Saturdays we're open, and you can give us a call at 651-228-1316.
Very good. Given the troops a little holiday, that's great. And a nice day. I think it's going to be a beautiful day today to come to the fair. It's going to be about 83 or so for a daytime high. All right. We're talking car care as we always do on a Saturday morning, this time from the fair. I tell you what, let's go back to the phones, Dan. Steve is, I believe, calling from New Hope with a question for you. Steve, you're on CCO with Dan. Well, he's somewhere in the background there. Are you there, Steve?
Hi. Say, I've got a 2008 Escape. I put it in first gear, then second gear, get it up to 60, and then when I put it in drive, it's fine, but it slips like at 50 miles an hour. So I got to go first, second, up to 60, then hit the cruise at 60 miles an hour, then I put it in drive. I realize that Franny and Andrew are probably asking me, well, how long do you think that'll last if I baby it?
Well, that's an unfair question. That's a loaded question, of course. But you know, we see stuff like that all the time. And depending upon what it is, but say, for example, that the case has a crack in it, and you're, you know, and you're just bypassing that crack by the way that you're manually shifting it, and you figured out how to do that, it could last forever like that. And I see that all the time where, you know, kind of like our kids and our dogs, they train us. And I think a car can be the same way, where the car trains us how to do it. So, since you know what it is, the car is what it is. And, you'll have to see what happens when the weather changes, because sometimes cold weather will affect it differently. But I don't know. I see people drive cars like that all the time, so it could be just fine.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that. Dan's going to be with us for about another 15 minutes or so, so keep that in mind. Call us or text us, 651-989-9226. The text number is 81807. Speaking of which, Dan, here's a text that came in a bit ago. 2006 Chevrolet Equinox has a fuel leak at the braided flex of the main steel line between the tank to injector rail. Is it safe to cut out the fail piece and splice in a quarter-inch standard rubber fuel line? What a question. What do you think?
Probably not. they make them, depending upon where the fuel pump is. I don't remember what kind of car it is. Did you say what kind of car it was?
It's a 2006 Equinox.
Equinox, yeah, no. The problem is the fuel pump is in the tank of that car. So the piece of line that has ruptured is pressurized. And so, no, that is not safe to replace with rubber. And, in fact, you can't shortcut it by using a compression fitting. The one thing the one repair that would be safe to do, and you probably would have to take it in and get some help on this, would be is if you actually put fittings on the steel line, on the good steel line that's left, and reflared those fittings and used connectors, in essence, making a new steel line for that section that you're cutting out. That would be a safe repair, and we do that all the time.
Do you?
In fact, you know, cars last so long now, Denny, that we've seen it where brake lines and fuel lines and the lines underneath the car rust out, and we have to replace them.
As a matter of fact, I think you did that on Tony's old vehicle.
That's true. Yeah. In fact, I think Tony's vehicle happened to break while I was driving.
Well, you were working on it. That's right. You said you can't take this home. I remember that. Like, I know we have to do a quick break for weather here, Dan. But there was a text that came in. We had that text earlier about the key fob that was in the wash. And a texter said, my key fob was in my pocket and went through the washer and dryer two different times, kept right on working. No issues. So maybe have the other texter send it through the dryer. That was Cindy.
Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah. You know what? The other thing, too, is when you put a battery in water, the battery goes dead, of course. You know, and so that's the other thing to do is just replace the battery and see what happens.
Absolutely.
And there's a chance it'll work.
Hang on, Dan. We'll take a quick break. We have to look at that forecast for a lot of the fairgoers, among other CCO landers, so we'll do that. I can tell you right now, 72 degrees. We'll be right back. We're talking car care here on CCO Live from the fair. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat coming along in just a matter of minutes. And then get those lawn and garden questions ready. We're going to head out to our deck, our veranda, and we get our good folks from the University of Minnesota Extension answering your lawn and garden questions. In the meantime, Dan Burns is on the horn with us, helping you out with car care questions. I think Tim is on the line, right, from Spicer. Tim, are you there for Dan?
Yep, that's correct. Okay, thanks for taking the call. I have a 1954 Chevrolet that I inherited from my father, and I've got the mechanical ability of a squirrel. Anyway, the last time I was driving it, the front end just shook quite violently, went over a bump, was going about 30 miles an hour. Stopped, pulled over, and then drove it back home, and it was fine. But I'm thinking there must be a tie rod problem or something like that. Is there a way to diagnose that, or I need to get it to the shop? I don't know if it's safe to drive it to the shop.
You'll have to make that decision if it's safe to drive it to the shop or not. It probably is. And, Denny, we've heard this described. People have called in. I forget what they called it, the suicide shake or something like
oh,
that.
Sure.
Where the something's loose up there, probably, and you hit a bump. And then once the front end starts that crazy shake, and I know what you're describing, it's a violent shake. The shake won't stop until you stop the vehicle or slow it way down. And so if you do drive it to the shop, and I probably would, drive it carefully. But I think that when you get it there, they're going to find that there is indeed a steering component that's loose. Or in the case of the more modern day Jeep, there's a steering dampener, kind of a shock absorber on the front of it that goes bad, and it causes that shake to happen. So I don't know if your old Chevy has a steering dampener like that. It might. That would not surprise me if it does have that shock absorber looking thing on there. In fact, you could crawl underneath and look and see. But if that's what it is, then other than the shake and you're aware of it, nothing's going to fall off the car. So that would make you more comfortable. But you for sure should take that in, and you can take it into your favorite shop. They'll be, very familiar with this. Parts for the old Chevys like that are readily available. And get that steering tightened up, and you'll be able to take it out and enjoy it, which is what you should do. Good for you. That'll be a fun car to
a lot of fun, I should say. 54.
Yeah.
Dan, we have some texters I don't want to forget about. Here's one. I just bought a 2010 Mazda 3 with 130,000 miles on it. What should I check other than changing all the fluids? I can see transmission fluid is gray. Will that hurt anything by changing it?
Maybe. No, it won't hurt anything. Do that professionally, though, with the right fluid and the right procedure. That can sometimes be complicated. And the answer to that is go to the owner's manual, find the maintenance schedule that it perhaps was due for previously and that it is due for now, and be sure that all of those things have been done. For example, if it's if it calls for spark plugs, if it calls for a timing belt, all that sort of stuff, just be sure that referencing the owner's manual has all of that stuff been done on schedule. And if not, you should.
Okay. Here's a text that says, I have a tire with a chronic slow leak. The valve stem is tight. In the past 6 months, I've had it looked at 3 times. Twice they found a small nail. Once they removed a small amount of corrosion on the edge of the alloy rim. Still goes down a couple of pounds a week. What do you think?
Well, where you lose pressure, the only possible thing to be going on is a leak. And if you drive a tire a block, you can pick up another nail. So that's, if you're not having good success with getting it repaired at the shop that you're at, then maybe give someone else a look. We'll do that at our own shop, where if we're having trouble with a tire, I'll have a different one of the guys look at it, because a different set of eyes will make a difference. But that's what I'd recommend is if if it's going down, that's not a complicated thing. It's got to be going somewhere. And you put it, if you put it in a tank of water, you should be able to find where the bubble
located
is coming
another
from.
Hole, maybe, yeah. Right. Jack Farrell will be with us in a couple of minutes or so, Dan. Let's grab another text or two. A 99 Lincoln, been sitting for 3 months, had battery tested bad, but starts up fine, but lost acceleration. When pushed hard, bogged down. Do you think it'd be old gas? Was running great before I put it in the garage, texter says.
Well, that could certainly, that would not surprise me at all. Old gas can certainly be the problem. And if it's running good enough to, take it out on the road and burn that gas through it, you can do that. Nowadays, it's pretty complicated to drain and dispose of gas. So that's the reason I would say if you can burn it, that would be the best solution. And then put some fresh gas in it and see what happens. But rarely, you know, with storing a vehicle, do we find anything other than fuel-related problems. So that's for sure the first place to look if you've stored, well, any internal combustion engine. If you've stored it, your lawnmower, your snowblower, any of that, if it ran fine when you put it away and it doesn't run now, then most likely it's a fuel-related problem.
Dan, we have to take our leave. Another year of the State Fair and Car Care has gone by. We're going to be back in studio next Saturday, I believe, right?
We are, indeed. Yes, sir, I'll be there.
All right, good deal, Dan. Have a great week at Lloyd's, and how do we get in touch with you guys?
Well, you can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net. You can come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Or give us a call next week at 651-228-1316.
Very good, Dan. We'll see you 1 week from today downtown.
Sounds good. Thank you.